Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of his Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of his Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Last week, we aired a message by Pastor Going on the relationship between a congregation and its pastor, taking a text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. He focused on the responsibilities of a pastor for the congregation in the first part of the message, and as we join the sermon this morning, he begins to consider the responsibilities of the congregation for their pastor. Here is Pastor Going.
So much more could be said on the duties of the pastor to the people, but we move to the responsibilities of the people to the pastor. Incidentally, if you'd like to get rid of your pastors, there's good news. I heard about there's a chain letter that's going around among churches, no cost involved. You send a copy of the letter to six other churches that are tired of their pastors too. You bundle up your pastor, send them to the church on the bottom of the list. In 1 week, you'll receive 346 new pastors, one of them whom should be great. But beware, one church broke the chain and got the same old preacher back. But Paul gives us some instructions on the responsibilities of people to their spiritual leaders. Now notice, he speaks of those who are over you in the Lord. And I think it's important to point out that these instructions that Paul gives for the proper treatment of spiritual leaders don't give a pastor a pass on ungodly behavior. These instructions that he gives are for the relationship with a pastor who is living a God-honoring life, who is faithfully carrying out the mandates of his calling. You might not agree with him on everything, but he's endeavoring to do his best. Sadly, not every pastor of every church is serving in the Lord. You and I both know that church history is full of the stories of fakes and phonies and charlatans who had an appearance in public of being one thing, but in reality, they were completely unqualified for spiritual leadership. There's a lot of reasons that a large percentage of people in America today say that they don't trust a pastor as a reliable source of truth. And no wonder the world no longer trusts pastors. It's no surprise when so many have turned out to be wolves in sheep's clothing. And it's not just moral failure, not just financial scandal that has hurt people's trust in the ministry, but there have been lazy pastors and arrogant pastors and selfish pastors and unwise pastors who have hurt and hindered the church. Many churches have experienced unfair treatment from pastors. But for those spiritual leaders who are living right and serving faithfully, Paul speaks of the responsibilities of people to their pastors. First, he says, the people of God should know their pastors, know them that labor among you. Now, when Paul tells the Thessalonians they should know their pastors, he's talking about more than just facial recognition. That word know is understood as respecting, acknowledging. One scholar commented that this This knowing that Paul writes about means the people should know their pastor well enough to have an appreciation for him, to respect him because of his value. First of all, know him for who he is. There's a basic level of knowledge that should be present before a man is called to a church to be a pastor. You should know what he believes. You should know something about his track record in ministry. You should know about his associations, about his approach to ministry, about his preaching, about how he treats people. You should know whether he's careful to study the Word of God, to preach it above his own opinion. You should know those things about your pastor. And then you should put forth the effort to get to know him as a person. Did you know that pastors are real people? My wife was telling me a few years back about, she remembers when she was a girl sitting in church and she was looking up at her pastor, and he looked so dignified in his suit and tie on the platform, sitting just right. And she was thinking, he must be thinking such dignified thoughts about God. And she was sitting next to the pastor's daughter, and she leaned over and said, "I know what he's thinking about. He's wondering what we're going to have for supper when we get home." Oh my, pastors are real people. And sometimes I've got to where I don't even immediately identify myself as a pastor when I meet somebody, because just automatically walls go up and everything changes. But pastors are real people. If we pinch ourselves, it hurts. We have feelings, we bleed, like you do. And no two pastors are exactly alike. Every one of us comes with some kind of baggage. We all come with faults and shortcomings, and the more you get to know me, the more of them you'll learn. Pastors aren't the same. We have different personalities, different interests. We may approach things differently. We think differently. We have different abilities, different strengths. I encourage you, get to know our pastoral staff for who we are. None of us bite, right, Brother Walter? We don't bite. Brother Sickler doesn't bite. Get to know us for who we are. And then know him for what he's worth. Know him for who he is. Know him for what he's worth. Remember, I'm not the editor of Scripture. I'm not the author. Just the messenger boy telling you what the Bible says. And again, this is in no way intending to be self-serving. But scholars suggest in this verse, when Paul speaks of those who, knowing those who labor among you, it carries overtones of financial support. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, a church leader who carries out his duties and responsibilities, Paul says, is worthy of double honor. The Greek word there is timē. It refers to the honor of wages or payment. And so Paul is saying a faithful, busy minister of the gospel is worthy of, deserving of, adequate, even generous payment. Now let me say here, there's not much that I despise more than to hear a poor-mouthing preacher, or a preacher always with his hand out for personal gain. That does much to hinder the cause of Christ. But here, Paul expresses that a pastor who is faithfully laboring, admonishing from the Word, should be supported financially by the church in return. That's a biblical thing. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the generous way that you faithfully support your pastors financially. You'll never hear me poor mouthing. But Paul says, know him, appreciate him, respect him financially. And then secondly, verse 13, he says, the people of God should esteem their pastors highly in love. One scholar noted the idea here is that the people are to think rightly and lovingly of their pastor, not because of his charm and personality and dashing good looks. I'm thankful it's not based on that. But because of the fact that the pastor, as the shepherd of the flock, works for the chief shepherd of his as his servant. This respect, this love of which Paul writes, has the idea of speaking well of pastors to others, not tearing them down. It speaks of encouragement. It speaks of doing what you can to make the ministry positive, because this writer says he is the channel that God has chosen to use to bring truth to you. Again, I'm not preaching to be self-serving. The church isn't about me. Ministry is not about me. Pastors are called to serve with humility and accountability. I read a quote just this past week that resonated with me. One writer said, leaders who can't be questioned end up doing questionable things. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm not above question. You have something? Please come talk to me. You have a concern? The door is open for the conversation. I want you to know that. John the Baptist set the pattern that every minister of the gospel should follow. You remember, before Jesus began his ministry, John had been preaching and preparing the way. And when Jesus shows up, John the Baptist said, he, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. And that ought to be the heart of every pastor. The great Methodist preacher, William Sangster, said, we don't care who's second so long as Christ is first. But Paul says, esteem them highly in love. This speaks of speaking well. It speaks of encouragement. And again, this is something you do well. So many times you speak a kind word, an encouraging word, and I thank you for that, and I appreciate that. This phrase speaks of doing what you can to help a pastor's ministry, to partner with him. It doesn't mean you can never disagree. Doesn't mean you'll see everything just the way that he does, but it means that you will strive to find common ground. And our interactions, even when we disagree, will be gracious and loving, respectful. I think of my great-grandfather, Floyd Going. He was not a pastor. He was not a preacher. He ran a filling station, sold tires, started back in the 1940s and continued right up into the 70s, the 80s maybe. He was a faithful Christian, very, very committed layman, leader in his church, board member. He was from Stillwater, Oklahoma. And all the preachers in that area knew if they went to Floyd Going's filling station, Floyd Going would take good care of them. He was known to home missions pastors to just provide tires for them and would help them out however he could. You know what's interesting? Papa, we called him, was in the hospital one time after very serious surgery, and I've forgotten the exact number, but I think there were around 15 pastors who came to visit him when he was in the hospital and prayed with him while he was there. And of his descendants, his oldest son, my grandfather, served as a pastor for 50 years. He's still preaching. Three of his great-grandsons are pastors. One great-granddaughter is married to a pastor. Three other descendants involved in ministry. Another great-granddaughter in a holiness Bible college. And I believe my great-grandfather enjoyed generational blessings in part because of his expression of love to the spiritual leaders in his community. Pastors are human. We have faults. We have failures. We're not blind to that. But we're called to love those who serve in leadership. And then thirdly, the people of God are to be at peace among themselves. You say, how is this a duty toward a pastor to be at peace among ourselves? Well, could I say to you, it's a blessing to a pastor when there's peace and biblical unity in the church. For God's people to be at peace speaks of a spirit of cooperation with the pastors, and it speaks of a harmony with one another. And when the people are at peace among themselves, then the pastors can focus on the important aspects of ministry and give themselves to prayer and to the word and to pastoral ministry. And the people can focus together on the mission of the church of winning people for Christ and developing disciples and deploying believers into the harvest field. One of the things that stands out to me that I've pointed out several times in recent months is how often the apostles encouraged the Christians of the New Testament church to love one another. It was a big deal to the apostles that the church members of their day love one another. And if it was a big deal to them, it ought to be a big deal to us. Amen? When the people of God are at peace among themselves, it's a blessing to those serving in pastoral leadership. It's an expression of love to one another. And ultimately, I believe when the people of God are at peace with one another, it brings glory to the Prince of Peace. And that's what we're about. We're about exalting Jesus. You want to bring glory to the Prince of Peace? Be at peace among yourselves. Amen. And I pray that the oil of the Spirit would flow among us and remove any friction, any tension, and that the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. And when pastors are doing what they should do, working hard in loving service, providing godly spiritual leadership, admonishing you from the Word, and then when the people are faithfully respecting their leaders, esteeming them in love, keeping peace among themselves, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And God's church moves forward for His glory and for His honor, and the kingdom is advanced. And all God's people said, amen.
In my mind, I can see Christ the Lord of all as He prepares the great banquet hall for those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a family reunion in glory land. Oh, I can almost see them standing there, robed in garments bright and fair. See the gates of pearl swing open wide, and hear them shout hallelujah as they step inside. Tribulation came. See the ones who have died for His holy name. Hear them join in a mighty hallelujah refrain at that family reunion in glory.
That was Phil and Kim Collingsworth in the song Family Reunion. Oh, what a day that will be to be in the presence of Jesus, surrounded by the saints, worshiping our Lord. My friend, if you would have any questions about today's message, or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. My friend, we hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. Here's the Cassidy family with a great reminder that this, of all days, the Lord's Day, we've come together to worship Him.
Just let the Spirit flow, and you'll see His glory.
I would like to invite you to Ono Camp Meeting, the 95th Annual Camp Meeting of the Lebanon Valley Holiness Association. It's going to begin July 6th, run through the 13th. Services are at 7 o'clock p.m. throughout the week, and then 2:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. on Sundays. Ono Camp Meeting is located just 2 miles south of Ono on Camp Meeting Road. If you're traveling north on Route 72 out of Lebanon, just before you get to Jonestown, watch for the Ono Camp Meeting sign located right off of Route 72. The Jeremy Fuller family will be the evangelist and singers, and I'm sure we'll have a great time together. Again, that starts on July 6th. That's going to be a Sunday afternoon with the Lebanon Valley Gospel Band at 2:30 p.m. We look forward to seeing you there. Here's Pastor going to close out the program with a word of prayer.
Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of your church. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, for the blessing, the privilege of answering the call to be a pastor. Thank you for the great privilege of being a pastor in this church, the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. Lord, I pray that you would melt us together as the people of God, the family of God. May we be marked by divine love. May we have compassionate hearts one to another. May we be humble in our spirits toward one another. May we be forgiving. May we forbear with one another. And Father, we will thank you for what you do and how you help us in the days to come. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful to proclaim the message of holiness. We want to be faithful to lift high the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see lives transformed. We want to be a church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Help us, I pray, to be the people you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
God searched for a limit to his love. What should he keep and what should he give up to pay sin's awful price for such a worthless one as I, to rescue me? Just how far would he go? All the way he came, all the way for me, all the way from heaven's throne to Calvary, leaving me just one little step to take. Think about that city he's prepared. When I arrive, I'll know.